வேதமான விலைக்காய் நன்றி செலுத்துகிறேன் சுவாமி. நீர் சபை கலைத்து வந்திருக்கிற ஒவ்வொருவருக்காகவும் உம்மிடத்தில் நான் நன்றி செலுத்துகிறேன். தகப்பனே, இதோ உன் பொக்கிஷ வார்த்தைகளை நான் தியானிக்க இந்த வேலையில் கர்த்தருடைய பிரசன்னங்களை வழி நடத்துகிற லார்ட், as we stand to meditate upon your words, I pray, Lord, your spirit will move amongst us. Your word, Father, never returns void, and may it be so for your people. As your words, Lord, land in your people's heart, may it crystallize, Lord, and bring about the change you so desire. Overcoming the powers of darkness but possessing your promises, we pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are many new faces in church today. I don't know your names. We welcome you, brother and sister. We also have an English gentleman and family who's joined us. So I'm going to be preaching today's message in English. It was a request that Dan put to me. So I know most of you know English, and my apologies. There are very few who probably will not be able to follow me, but don't worry, I'll catch up with you guys. So I'm going to be preaching today's sermon in English, and I welcome you all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to turn our Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 11. The book of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 11. And should I not have compassion concerning the great city Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left hand, and also many animals? For those of you following, this is the last verse in the book of Jonah in chapter 4. These words are very profound words, because these words were spoken by the Lord to the prophet Jonah. This last verse in the chapter of Jonah carries so much of weight, and in this book is not an ordinary book that some may dismiss as a fable, for example. To put that into perspective, in the book of Matthew chapter 12, 39 and 41, Jesus himself talks about the prophet Jonah, and he uses Jonah's experience to bring about a prophetic foreshadowing of Jesus' own death and resurrection. My brothers and sisters in Christ, what I am doing here this afternoon is drawing your attention to the importance of this book, Jonah, and the words that we read in this particular book of Jonah. Jonah is someone even the little ones who go to Sunday school are very familiar with. Jonah being swallowed by the fish is a very typical Sunday school story. So much so, we hear it so many times that it has become so familiar that we do not take the book of Jonah anymore seriously. Some of us may wonder, I'm living in a modern world. I live in a world where am I still meant to believe and say, trust what the book of Jonah says, that a fish swallowed a man and somehow he survived in the fish's stomach? And is this something that I can really believe? My brothers and sisters in Christ, I do not know about you, but given that the Lord Jesus Christ himself used one of the references pointing back to Jonah and his experience that he had when he was swallowed by the big fish, I would most certainly pay great attention to the book of Jonah. And particularly this last verse where we read Jesus saying, and should I not have concern for the great city Nineveh? Jesus is asking this prophet Jonah a question. He says, I know the number of people in the city. And he says, there are more than 120,000 people in the city. And he says, these people, they don't even know their right from their left. And the Lord doesn't stop there. He says, it's not only the people that I am concerned about, I'm also concerned about the animals in the city. My brothers and sisters in Christ, why does the Lord ask Jonah this question? And in that question, is there something for us this afternoon that the Lord speaks to our heart that we should take with our minds and crystallize in our hearts before we leave those doors today? Those resounding words that demonstrates the compassion of Jesus that he asked the prophet Jonah, those very same words are yet meaningful for us this afternoon. And what is the Lord about to speak to us this afternoon? And that answer lies in this question where the Lord asks Jonah, saying, should I not have compassion on this great number of people in the city Nineveh? To answer that question, we are going to track back a little bit and we're going to ask ourselves this question, who was this man Jonah? Jonah was not someone who was out of touch with God. He was not someone who was spiritually disconnected with God.
He was not someone who was walking in darkness or sin. He was not someone who had a hardened heart. Neither he was someone who was estranged from God. He was not someone who did not fear the Lord. He was not someone who was living apart from God. Here is a man who was a Jewish prophet, who was a man of God, and who was closely connected to God. And it is to this man that Jesus asks this question that we read in the books of Jonah chapter 4 and the last verse. Hallelujah. Jonah himself describes himself. He says in chapter 1 verse 9, when talking about himself, Jonah says, "I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the maker of the sea and dry land." When the sailors on the boat that was struck by the storm asks Jonah, "Who are you?" Jonah responds by saying, "I am a Hebrew and I worship God." He creates his identity with who he is in relation to God. In chapter 2, in verse 1, and in chapter 2, in verse 4, Jonah says, Jonah prayed to the Lord. In more than one instance in the book of Jonah, we are told that when trouble, according to the viewpoint of Jonah, came, he was a man who prayed to God. He says in chapter 2, verses 9, the very famous prayer of the prophet Jonah, he says, "Salvation comes from the Lord." In chapter 4, verses 2, he says, "I know, Lord, that you are gracious, that you are compassionate, that you are slow to anger, you are abundant in love, and you are a God who relents from sending calamity." My brothers and sisters in Christ, here is a man who is not a stranger to the Lord. He is a person who was in the Lord. And why should the Lord ask this question of Jonah? A man of God, a prophet, proven prophet, who knows who the Lord is, who lives his life in the identity of Christ himself. The Lord looks at such a person and he asks him this question that we see in the last chapter, the last verse in chapter 4. The answer to that profound question that Jesus asks Jonah is an answer that perhaps this afternoon is going to resound in our hearts and wake something up in us that we have perhaps been overlooking. Hallelujah. Here is that question once again. He says, the Lord says to Jonah, "And should I not have compassion concerning the great city Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" My brothers and sisters in Christ, the book of Jonah in chapter 1, the very first verse begins with says, "He was the son of a man called Amittai." Now, the Hebrew meaning for that word itself means truth and faithfulness. The name of the family this prophet comes in is a name which means truth and faithfulness. He came from the city, from the town in Galilee, which is the northern region, far away from the elite who lived in Jerusalem. He was one of the few prophets who came from the northern kingdom. For those of you who have many times have mentioned, the nation Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the southern kingdom Judah and the northern kingdom Israel. That division took place after the king David. And here, from the northern kingdom, there are very few prophets who come. Elisha, Hosea, Amos, and the other one is Jonah. Not an ordinary man of God, a profound prophet who knew who God was. He grew up in Israel, and when Jonah grew up, he would have heard the frightening and the terrifying tales about the Assyrians. He comes after Isaiah. We know the instance when Sennacherib threatens Jerusalem. My point to you is, this man grew up in the midst of Israel, knowing what was around him. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 14, 25, this is one other verse in the Bible where the word Amittai is mentioned. The Bible tells us he was one who restored the boundaries of Israel. The verse is talking about the king Jeroboam of the northern kingdom. And the Bible says, Jeroboam was the one who restored the boundaries of northern Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea. And the verses that follow are the important verses. He says, in accordance to the word of the Lord spoken through his servant Jonah the prophet. This man held high esteem in Israel and Judah. Hallelujah. He was not an ordinary man. The prophecies that this man made, God fulfilled those prophecies. That is what the book of 2 Kings chapter 14 and 25 is saying. The point that I'm hammering home to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is that Jonah was no ordinary man. He was not a man who lived a sinful life. He was someone who was in the Lord. He was someone who had a calling that the Lord had placed upon his life. He held authority in Israel, and people listened to what this prophet said. When Jonah stood up and said something, people paid attention, because the things that Jonah said in his prophetic life, God fulfilled one after the other. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the background of who Jonah is. Therefore, if this is a man of God, according to God's will and pleasure, why should God turn to Jonah and ask him that profound question? The answer to that is in the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 5. That's the pivotal verse I want to pivot on today. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Here is the Bible writers telling us something that Jonah did. Slap bang in the middle of the books of Jonah, Jonah is doing something. The Bible says, he goes out, he sits down somewhere out of the city, he makes a shelter, and he's waiting to see if something should happen. And who is he waiting for? He's waiting to see what the Lord will do to the city of Nineveh. Hallelujah. I'm making a few assumptions here. And the assumptions I'm making is, you all are familiar with the book of Jonah. You know the story of the book of Jonah. For those of you who don't know, very quickly, Jonah was a prophet. God wanted Jonah to go and warn the Ninevites of the impending doom. Jonah refuses, jumps on a ship, and heads off to Tarshish. On his journey to Tarshish, because he's going in the opposite direction, the Bible says the Lord sends a storm on that boat, and the boat is in tumult and in trouble. And the Bible says the sailors of the boat eventually realize Jonah is the reason for their problems, and they throw him into the sea. The Bible says the Lord caused a great fish to swallow Jonah, and within the bellies of the fish, Jonah prays this awesome prayer in the book of Jonah, chapter 2. And then the Bible in chapter 2 ends with the verse saying, and the Lord caused the fish to vomit Jonah on the seashore. And then Jonah goes where the Lord wanted him to go. He warns the people. The people heed his warning. They repent and they relent and they change. God sees the change in these people. And God says, I'm not going to destroy Nineveh anymore. It is after that incident that Jonah is terribly annoyed and angry. And he goes off storming. And the Bible says in chapter 4 verse 5, he had gone out and sat down at the place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat in the shade waiting to see what would happen to the city. That is why he's sitting there. He's totally annoyed with God because God relented and forgave the city of Nineveh. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if we backtrack a little bit more, in the book of Jonah chapter 3 verses 10, the Bible says, when God saw what they did, and these are the people in Nineveh, when they repent, they put on sackcloth and they understand their mistakes, God relents. He says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he threatened. And the verse, chapter 4 verse 1 says, but Jonah was greatly displeased. Who is this man who is being displeased with God? This chosen vessel, this powerful and awesome prophet whose prophetic words have been fulfilled, a man of God called by God, the Bible says he was greatly displeased. And verse 2 says, isn't this what I said, Lord? And here, when he's displeased, he's not going and grumbling to his neighbor. He's not grumbling to his friend. He's going back in prayer and he's grumbling to the Lord and he's saying, Lord, this is what I told you when you asked me to go to Nineveh. This is why, Lord, I know this is what you will do. That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. He's reasoning with the Lord and he's saying, I know who you are, Lord. I know you're going to relent. That is why I wanted to run away. In the same verse 2, in the last part, he says, I knew that you are gracious, you are compassionate, you are slow to anger, you are abundant in love, and you are a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to live than die. Here, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the prophet who held authority in Israel, the prophet who was a significant man in the nation Israel, somewhere along the way, His life's purpose became about him rather than God. Hallelujah. Somewhere along that journey, this powerful man's life switched from being meaningful and useful to God to becoming someone who now was only thinking about himself. My brothers and sisters in Christ, even today, there are some Jonahs in church. You know the Lord. You love the Lord. You delight in His words. You pray and you're at His feet and at His presence. You know who He is. You know how good He is. You know how awesome He is. You may be called the child of God. But there are some of you who along that journey that you had with God, you have lost the Lord somewhere and your life has all become about you rather than Jesus. Hallelujah. And it was this point that Jesus wanted to hammer home into Jonah when he asks him that question. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not always about us when we are serving God. Most of the time, in fact, I would be brave enough to say almost all of the time when God uses a person for His glory, God uses that person as His instrument. It is no longer that person's name. It is no longer that person's fame. It is no longer that person's life that matter. It is the name of God Almighty that matters. Perhaps there are some of you in church today who are like Jonah. You have been serving the Lord. You have been serving the Lord for months and years and perhaps even more than a decade. But somewhere on that journey, you became indignant because it was all about you. Imagine Jonah for a second. Why did he throw that tantrum? He stood in the city Nineveh and he declared the powerful word of God. And he wanted the people in the city of Nineveh to know that he was a prophet. When he says something, God will fulfill it as he says. It was about his name, the name that he held in the nation Israel. When the Lord relented, it was no longer about himself. It was about the Lord, and Jonah is annoyed. Hallelujah. There are some in church today this afternoon, perhaps in this state, in your Christian life, perhaps in your ministry, there has been a stumbling block in your life where you came to that point and it was no longer about Jesus and it has become about what will happen to my name. What will people think about me? What will happen about my prestige and my privilege? My brothers and sisters in Christ, if this is you, then the Lord is speaking to you this afternoon. You are a powerful instrument in the hand of God. But you being in the hand of God is not for your self-gratification and not for your self-glory and not for you to shine and your name to be great. The very reason the Lord chose Jonah from his mother's womb was because he wanted to make him a prophet and an instrument in his hands who he can send out and change people's hearts. Hallelujah. There are some Jonahs in church this afternoon and God is speaking to you. Somewhere in your Christian journey, it has become about you and less about Jesus. In the book of Jonah 4:11, he says, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell the right hand from the left hand and many animals. Here, God is making Jonah realize that he is a compassionate God. He is a God who is slow to anger. He is a God who is concerned about every single soul in that city of Nineveh. When Jonah said, it was about my name, it was about me, it was me saying, and now I am losing face, God is reminding Jonah and saying, Jonah, you are my faithful servant, but you have forgotten something. You are an instrument in my hand. What is happening in your life is not about you. It is all about me. Hallelujah. And God is speaking to some of you in church this afternoon and saying, my son, my daughter, your calling and your purpose in the ministry, my purpose and plan in your life, yes, it is to bless you, but it is also to fulfill the purpose I have. Consider for a moment, God could have sent anyone to Nineveh as soon as Jonah hopped on a boat and headed off to Tarshish on the opposite direction in the Mediterranean Sea. Within a jiffy second, God could have chosen somebody else and sent that man to Nineveh. He could have anointed him, filled him with power, given him the gifts of the Holy Spirit and sent him to Nineveh. But that is not how God operates. Hallelujah. There are some of you in church today. You are Jonahs and you have a city of Nineveh that you must go to. But you are heading off in the opposite direction because somewhere along your Christian journey, you have lost what your calling is, and you think it is all about you and nothing about Jesus. Hallelujah. For those of you who are making sense, can we put our hands up and say, hallelujah. It is an acknowledgement of God and saying, Lord, I accept your words because your word is speaking to me. It's not my words. I stand here laboring and declaring, my brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the powerful, unchanging words of God. They were written in the Bible and we read them today because they are alive and meaningful and they will accomplish their purpose even this day in this church. A few Jonas in church today, God is speaking to you. It is not all about you. It is about God. Are you insulted by people? It is okay. Are you pushed aside by people? It is okay. Have people not recognized your sincerity and your work, that you work in the ministry? It is okay. It is not necessary that people should see you and reward you and appreciate you. For a man of God and a true servant of God, his appreciation never comes from the lips and tongues of men. It always comes from the acknowledgement of the Almighty God who calls you. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters of Christ, God is speaking to some of you this afternoon. God is saying, I chose you from your mother's womb. I brought you to this world with a purpose. I gave you a calling. I told you what to do and I put you on a plan and a purpose. It is through your mouth and it is through your hands and it is through your being that I will achieve my purpose. But you have forgotten your calling and your purpose. Somewhere along the line, O faithful servant of God, it has become about you and not Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jonah chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose around the ship and threatened it to break. This is when Jonah is running away from the plan of God, running away from fulfilling God's purpose in his life. The Lord says, he created a great wind on the sea. As I was preparing the sermon today, I was pondering, when you consider the journey Paul takes, the ship that Paul was on when he went to Rome, the Bible very clearly says that the sailors knew that region. They knew the climatic conditions. They knew the forces of wind. They knew in which month they can travel safely without storms tormenting their boats. And here is a boat heading off to Tarshish with seasoned sailors on it, who a storm attacks. Hallelujah. And when that storm attacked that boat, there would have been many other ships in that region, right? This storm was not an ordinary storm. This storm came at a time when no one was expecting it. This storm came at a time when the sailors thought it was safe to go. And all that happened for one reason. And that one reason is the man with the calling was not in the place he was meant to be. Hallelujah. God is once again speaking to some of you this afternoon. Perhaps there are some in church today, like Jonah on that boat being tossed on the wave. You are standing in the midst of a storm, and the reason for the storm is not the ordinary reasons. The reasons for the storm that is rocking your boat is a choice that you have made in your Christian life. Hallelujah. Shall we put our hands up again and say, Lord, I accept your words. Storms are raging in some of your lives. And the reason for those storms raging in your life is because the Lord had sent that storm in your life. Because you are on a boat that you should not be on. You are heading off in a direction and a path that God doesn't want you to be on. It is in your hands, it is with you that God will fulfill his purpose. Hallelujah. There are perhaps some in church this afternoon. You think God has put you on a specific path that you are trotting and progressing. Many of the decisions you are making in that path is decisions that are according to your wish. Many are the decisions you are making in that path thinking, this is where God wants me to put. But you have failed to check if that is really the path that God has put you on. Or are you in the incorrect path? If there are some like Jonah in church today, where for the past few months or years, your life has been a tumult. There are storms that are raging around you. You have not been destroyed because you are the man of God, you are a child of God, and God has a purpose and a calling for you. All that he wants from you is that you leave that path you are and get to the path that you need to be. Hallelujah. God is speaking to some of us this afternoon. In verse chapter 4, verse 8, God said, Bible says, God provided a scorching east wind and the sun blazed on Jonah's head, so he grew faint. Here is a man sitting at the outskirts of the city, sulking and saying, God, I'm going to die, Lord. I don't want to live anymore. You said you were going to destroy that city in any way. I want you to destroy that city in any way. He says that prayer and he thinks because he was a favorite son of God, because he was a prophet, because he was a man of standing, because he was a called servant of God, because his prophecies were fulfilled, he thought that if he goes and sulks and watches, God is going to change his plan for this man's own plan. Hallelujah. But what does God do? He says, no, Jonah, it is not your plan. Look at what he is doing. He is walking with God. Even in this situation, he's praying to God and he's saying, Lord, it is better that I die than I live. Why? Because he's lost his name. He's lost his face. And he says, Lord, I'm going to sit here and wait. And he thinks in his heart, because my Lord loves me, because my Father has been so faithful to me, because he has seen all the good things that I have done, this instance he's going to change his mind and he's going to destroy Nineveh. That is why he sat there watching the city, waiting what was going to happen. Hallelujah. He didn't reject it and say, God, you're not going to destroy the city. I'm going back to Israel. He goes and he sits under that vine and he waits and watches for the city to be destroyed. There are some in church in a similar situation here. You are sulking in your heart because you have lost faith somewhere in your Christian life. And you want God to turn things the way you want them to be turned. Hallelujah. God is speaking to you and he's saying, my son, my daughter, it is not all about you. It is not all about you. I have greater and bigger things in perspective. You only see a small part of my plan and my purpose. You do not see the 120,000 people that my eyes see. You do not see the 120,000 people who are innocent people. You do not see the animals in that city. You do not see that the truth is I am a compassionate God. I am slow to anger. How, Jonah, can you expect for me to destroy the city in any way? Hallelujah. And God is asking the same questions to you. Perhaps there are some of you who carry a hurt in your heart because of your life in Jesus. And that hurt in your heart might have been caused by men, might have been brought into your life, still a stumbling block in your Christian life. I want you to remember this afternoon that it is not all about you. O man of God, O child of God who is in church this afternoon, are you carrying a stain in your heart because of ministry? And have you lost faith in your life because of ministry? God is saying, it is not all about you. My plan and my purpose is greater and bigger in your life. Hallelujah. Shall we put our hands up once again and say, Lord, I accept the words you are speaking to me. My brothers and sisters in Christ, here is a man, faithful man to God. Here is a man who God loved. Here is a man who loved God. Here is a man who God worked in mightily. Here is a man who God used as an instrument to bring salvation and turn around the city of Nineveh. But here is a man who forgot in his journey that it was not about himself, it was about the Lord. And God is speaking to some of you in that situation today in church. The Lord loves you. The Lord cares for you. God teaches Jonah an awesome lesson. He causes his vine to grow overnight and he destroys the vine overnight. And Jonah's angry about it. And the Lord uses profound words. He says, you did not tend this vine. You did not water it. You did not make it grow. Yet when it was destroyed, you're annoyed. And he says, what right do you have to be annoyed? Hallelujah. And it is the same question God is asking us. He is saying, what right, my dear child, have you got to be annoyed when you are the servant in my hands to fulfill my purpose? Those words are not words of rebuke. Those words are not harsh words. They are words of kindness which brings out the heart of God. And he wants you to see situations through his eyes. Hallelujah. As I conclude, I want to give you a few examples. If there are some of you in church today who think that ministry is all about men appreciating you, If there are someone in church today who thinks ministry is all about something you will gain personally from yourself materialistically, then God is speaking to you today. The appreciation for whatever you do in ministry may not come from the tongue and the lip of man, but it will most certainly come to you from the Almighty God's hand. Stay on there. Cling on there. Faithfully carry out His purpose. It is okay if people insult you. It is okay if people lie to you. It is okay if people talk tales about you. It is okay if people spread lies about you. As long as your heart is pure and clean in the presence of the Almighty God, that is all that matters. Hallelujah. It is no longer about yourself. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are in ministry, then God is speaking to you today. He's saying, the least you do, I see. The very least you do in the ministry, you lift a chair, or perhaps you take a cup and put it in a bin. The very least you do in ministry, perhaps man has not seen it, but I assure you, as the servant of the Almighty God, every single faithful deed, every single penny you invested in the ministry, every minute that you have spent in the ministry, every faithful prayer that you prayed for people in your secret, every good deed that you have done to build the kingdom of God, the eyes of the Almighty God sees it. Man may not see it, but the eyes of the Almighty God sees it. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the kind of a heart that God wants His chosen people to have. Not to have something which is all about yourself. And that is why Jesus asks Jonah this question. The chapter of Jonah ends with a verse, and it ends with that resounding verse where Jesus says, "And should I not have compassion on this great city Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right from their left, and also many animals?" Hidden in there, which God doesn't make clear, is this one profound truth. He uses the vine to explain what is going on. He says, Jonah, you didn't plant the vine. Jonah, you didn't water the vine. You didn't tend the vine. It grew up, Jonah, and you used it. Now it is gone. Of what anger should you be? God is saying, it is I who tend. It is I who make grow. It is I who provision. He's talking about those 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh. Each and every one of them He was concerned about. He was tending it. He was causing it to grow. He was causing it to become something that will be useful to Him. And in the midst of that, Jonah comes with his complaint. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as I conclude my sermon this afternoon, if there is nothing you have taken away, I want you to take away this one point as you go home. O man of God, O child of God, called for the purpose of God, God has a purpose and a plan in your life. Do not expect appreciation from men. It will never come, and if it comes, it will be temporary. Your reward is from your Father in heaven. If God has spoken to you, if He's been churning in your heart saying, I want you, Jonah, to be in Nineveh. There are some Jonahs here who need to be in Nineveh. Obey the voice of God. It is not about your name. It is not about your fame. Simply obey the voice of God. You will be a mighty instrument in God's hand, where the king of a nation, the Bible says, even the news reached the king's ears. An ordinary Hebrew prophet goes into the city, which the Bible theologians say was the greatest city in that region at that point in time. It reaches the king, who was a king who was awesome and mighty and powerful. An ordinary man of God goes into a city which the Bible says was so big that it will take 3 days to see. And when he obeys and do what God wants him to do, what he did even reaches the king's ears. You may be an ordinary person without wisdom, not knowing how to speak, not having the intellect, not having the wisdom. But when you follow God and you obey Him, He will use you to move even the hearts of kings. Hallelujah. There are some of you in church today. God has brought you to this nation to move the hearts of kings. There are some of you in church today. God has brought you to this nation so that He will fulfill His purpose for you. There are some of you in church today who God has a calling and He wants to achieve in your life what He has set you apart for. Hallelujah. As we stand up to communion, let's meditate upon these words. These words that God is speaking to us this afternoon, saying that we are His children. He wants us to be where he has placed us to be.